بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الوحدة خير من جليس السوء والجليس الصالح خير من الوحدة او كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected sisters, the way that we have all come into this world is through a specific system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala made the system in such a way that every person that came into this world, obviously with the exclusion of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, other than these two prophets, every single person that came into this world, they came through the medium, through the means of a mother and a father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the system in such a way, this is for anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, someone who believes in religion, someone who doesn't, that there was a couple, either parents, either partners, and through the act of reproduction, a child came into existence. And this has been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just this system in itself, that a child was born through the medium of a mother and a father, was enough to naturally put the love of the parents in the hearts of that child. And to put the love of the child in the hearts of those parents. That, okay, we have been blessed with this child. And, you know, us partners, we have been blessed with this child, so we must look after this child. So naturally, this was enough anyway. But to maintain this relationship even further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the blessed teachings of the prophets and the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this family system. And if you compare the family system of Islam and the family system of any other religion or the family system of any other culture, you will see by far that the family system of Islam is the best family system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory on the children to serve their parents. Allah ta'ala has made it compulsory on the children to love their parents. And vice versa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory on the parents to fulfill the rights of the children. You must educate them, you must look after them, you must give them Islamic upbringing, you must give them Islamic education, etc., etc. And then from these children as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created love in the hearts of the brothers for the sisters, and love in the hearts of the sisters for the brothers. And Allah ta'ala has set down guidelines as well, that if you are older, you must show more love. If you are older, it's your responsibility to keep the younger ones on the right path, to look after them, to look out for them, etc., etc. No other culture has this type of system. In other cultures you will see that, in many cultures you see, especially in the West, that once the children, they grow up, they reach the age of 16, 18, 20, they completely separate from their parents. And they think this is a norm, that now we will move out and we will start our own lives. Fine, they were our parents. Yes, we know them. Other than that, there's no special bond between the two. In other religions, you will see that if a divorce does take place between the husband and the wife, then you'll see that either one of them will have complete control over the children, complete rights over the children, the other one is completely disregarded. And this is not the same in the family system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. That it's due to this family system, we all stay close to one another, love increases between one another as well. This family system is the most safest for us as well. If Allah ta'ala had made a system that, okay, fine, if after reproduction a child comes into this world, now the child lives his own life, the child goes in his own direction, the parents are not responsible, then who would look after us today? Who would keep us on the right path today? Who would have concern for us today? When we are in trouble, when we are hurt, when we get sick, who would be there to look after us and take care of us? And when these parents reach old age, now they do not have anybody else to look after them. If it wasn't for this family system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us, my dear sisters, then who would look after those parents in old age? But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made such a system for us. That in this system, there is protection for us as children. And in this system, there is protection for the parents as well. In this system, there is protection for the siblings as well. In this system, there is protection for the uncles and the aunts and the nephews and the niece. And the grandparents and the grandchildren. Now obviously, through this system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, where Allah Ta'ala has put certain rights of the parents on the shoulders of the children, and vice versa as well. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained to us such a strong yet simple statement that huma jannatuka aw naruk. If you look after your parents properly, you listen to their instructions, you do what they ask you to do, as long as they are not ordering you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you keep them happy, then your parents are the decider for you. They will either be your paradise or they will either be your hellfire. One woman, after accepting Islam, one Sahabiya, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, I have accepted Islam, I am a Muslim, but I have heard that my mother is coming to visit me. Now, this is the first time that after my acceptance of Islam, my mother is coming to visit me. How should I conduct myself with her? How should my attitude be with her? Shall I be caring? Shall I look after her? Shall I serve her? Shall I make food for her? Shall I let her stay in my house? How should I conduct myself with her?" So Rasulullah, and she also said that وَهِيَ رَاغِبَةٌ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. She is not so fond of Islam. She has disinclination towards Islam. What should I do? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, no, you be good towards her. You be good towards her. There are obligations that you must fulfill towards her. And you must listen to her, even though she is not a Muslim, as long as she does not order you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even for Muslims who have non-Muslim parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a right to the parents. The point that I want to come to, my dear sisters, is due to this system and due to the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on our parents with regards looking after us, it's obvious that our parents, they have to train us. They have to nurture us. They have to educate us. They have to look out for us. They care about us. When they care about us, obviously they will look out for us. But in order for them to do so, there will be times where they will have to tell us what to do, despite us not liking it. They will order us to do something. They will order us not to do something when we want to do something. They will order us to do something in a certain way, because they care about us. They are our parents. And because they are our parents, they want the best for us. How can any student be a successful student when the teacher will never reprimand that child? When the teacher will never instruct that child to do something? The teacher will say that, okay, I have taught you this lesson. Now you have to carry out this homework before the next lesson. You have made a mistake. You have come late to class. Because of this, you will have a detention. You have done this wrong. Because of this, you'll be punished in a certain way. Similarly, there will be times when our parents, they will see us make mistakes. Our parents, they will see us doing something in a certain way, when they know that if we do it in another manner, it will be much more better for us. Our parents will sometimes see us that we want to do something, but it is not good for us. It is either not good for our deen, or it's not good for our dunya. Then our parents will tell us, or they will order us, no, you can't do this. And they will put restrictions on us that, no, you can't go out at this time. No, you can't hang around with so and so. It's obvious. If you look into every successful person in history, one of the reasons why they were successful is they listened to the instructions of their parents. Today we hear the likes of the name of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. His father would nurture him in such a way that today me and you would probably run away from home if our parents were to do the same. He and you would say, oh, I can't put up with this. I can't handle this. His father used to keep an eye on him in the masjid. And if his father saw that my son Zakaria has prayed Asr next to Ibrahim, then his dad will now look out in the next salah. And if his dad saw, even though it was a coincidence, if his dad saw that my son Zakaria has now prayed Maghrib next to Ibrahim as well, his father would reprimand him. His father would reprimand him. And he would say that, oh Zakaria, you are a student in the Darul Uloom. You are a student, you should only have one purpose. Or two things, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not doing anything against the will of Allah, and after that, all your attention should be towards studying, towards acquiring knowledge, and towards adopting those means, whether it's the khidmah of your teachers, whether it's learning your kitabs, doing those things that will make you successful in this purpose of acquiring knowledge. Zakaria, why have you become busy? Why have you engaged yourself in making friends? So if you prayed Maghrib, Asr next to Ibrahim, and you prayed Maghrib next to Ibrahim as well, then I have come to this conclusion that Ibrahim is your new friend. That's why when it's time for Salah, you go looking for Ibrahim and you pray next to him. Even if it was coincidence, it's happened sometimes. You end up in the masjid, you come at a certain time, someone else comes at that same time, you end up praying next to him. The next Salah, you end up praying next to him. But his father was strict. So his father would reprimand him. So if we look at all our pious predecessors, and we see that what is that thing that made them successful? One big factor was that however their parents nurtured them, they molded themselves in that certain way. Unfortunately, the main point I want to come to, unfortunately, due to the culture, due to the programs that we see and the films that we see on the television, not to say that it's right to do so, but because we end up doing so, due to the different cultures, when we mix with different people, we learn their trends as well. Unfortunately, we've picked up this temperament inside of us that we want to be someone that no one should tell us what to do, how to do, when to do. We want that freedom for ourselves. So we don't want anyone to tell us, why are you waking up 9 o'clock, you should be waking up 8 o'clock in the morning. We don't want no one to tell us that, beta, my son, my daughter, you have ate right now, you haven't cleaned your plate properly. Why haven't you cleaned your plate properly? No, you shouldn't get up from the dastakhan until you clean your plate. Why have you come home late today? Normally you come home at 5 o'clock. Your school finishes at 3 o'clock. Normally you're home by 3:30. Why have you come at 5 p.m. today? We make a big fuss out of it. We kick a big fuss at home. We get into big arguments at home. Why are you telling me? I'm 16 years old now. I'm 15 years old now. I'm going to secondary school or the higher school. So now I should have that freedom. Why are you asking me? The parents will say, you know, better, you shouldn't be wearing clothes that your legs are being revealed. You shouldn't be wearing clothes that your hair is, you know, you're not covering your hair properly. Again, we kick a fuss straight away. We get into arguments straight away. It could even be the first time our parents are telling us. But cause over time, we've built this mizaj, this temperament, that no one should tell me what to do. And, you know, I'm only going to keep it good. I'm only going to remain on good terms with those people who praise me. Or those people who support what I do. Anyone who tells me that I'm doing something wrong, I don't want to know that I'm wrong. I don't want to be told that I'm doing something in a wrong manner. I don't want to be told that you need to improve something. I'm Mrs. Perfect. No one should tell me what to do. Now, because of this temperament, so we've built up this temperament on one side, and on the other side, our parents tried their utmost to fulfill their Islamic duty towards us, their legal duties towards us, and their moral duties towards us. They tried their hardest. That no, it's my daughter, it's my son, tomorrow he's going to become an adult, tomorrow he will be a parent. If he's still got this habit inside his life, it's not a good thing. So on one side, they are trying their hardest to mold us in a certain way. And on the other side, we have built up this mizaj, this temperament, this style. That no one should tell me what to do. When they are trying this force from this side, and you have adopted this force from this side, it has a big clash at home. However, it's something simple like, better, you're always on the phone when you come home. Or, when it's time for ta'aleem, you are not coming down and joining the family. Or, why did you do this to your younger brother, to your younger sister? We just cannot stand being told anything. So what has this led us to now? That at home, there is no family system left. At home, we do not get along with our parents anymore. Now, even our there will be times where our parents can see that we are falling into 100% danger. It's like someone walking and there's a pit in front of him and someone's going to fall right into it. What would you do at that time? Even if you don't know the person, you will shout, you will scream, you will say, don't go towards there or move back, stop where you're walking. You'll fall into danger. But now, unfortunately, due to the way we react to our parents, due to the way we disrespect our parents, we disrespect them in front of the younger siblings, we say, shut up, who are you to tell me? Or go away, I don't need you to tell me. I don't need you to tell me how to dress. I don't need you to tell me how I can use my phone. I don't need you to tell me what time I should wake up and what time I should go to sleep. I don't need you to tell me whether I should brush my teeth before going to sleep. Nothing. We want it to be that we're completely untouchable. We're completely such a person that nothing should happen against my will and desire. And this cannot work, my dear sisters. At the end of the day, tomorrow when you become parents, you will try to nurture your own children in a certain way. And you will see this same clash because this is the way you dealt with your parents. We know it's a very famous incident that one person, he saw that in a room, one person he saw that in the, a father and a son, they were inside the room. It's a very famous story. And this person, onlooker, he saw that the son, he is pushing the father. Can you believe it? The son, he is pushing the father. And he pushed him from one side of the room all the way to the other side. Until, so the father didn't say anything throughout. So through all those meters that the son, he is pushing the father. The father didn't say anything until all of a sudden the father said, that's it, better stop now, son, because this is how much I push my own father. Okay? So then when this person asked that father afterwards that this was something so strange, you are the father, your son was pushing you, you didn't say anything to him, and then all of a sudden you said to him, okay, son, stop, because this is all I have done as well. The father explained that in the chapter of parents, what goes around comes around. However you deal with your parents, your children will deal with you tomorrow. Today it's so strange to see the concept and the thinking of our young children today. The youngsters, the teenagers. On one side they are like, no, our parents shouldn't say anything to us. But if you ask them that tomorrow when you have kids, would you let your kids dress like this? No, we'll be very, very strict with them. You know, tomorrow when you have kids, then, you know, how much will you, I'll make sure they educate themselves properly. I'll put them into school, into higher school, I'll put them into madrasa. And they themselves, when their parents are trying to do that to them, they are saying no. And they are not letting, you know, it's only my way or the highway. You know, it's either you keep me happy and you only say good things about me, or otherwise we'll kick a big fuss at home. And we have a big argument at home. And we spoil the environment at home. So on one side, they are thinking that when we have children, then we'll do this, we'll mold them like this. And if our children don't listen to us, we'll do this. But they don't understand that the way, or we don't understand, we are all young. Our parents are still alive. We don't understand that the way we treat our parents today, we don't even have children. But tomorrow when we do have children, then our children are going to treat us in the same manner as well. So that's what the father said. That when I was young, I also got rude to my father. And I got into an argument with him one day. And because he was old, he was frail, nobody else was in the home to stop me, I started pushing him around. And he said that I pushed my father for this much distance as well. And I knew that the time will come that my son will also do the same to me, just like I did to my own father many, many years ago. So that's why I told my son, yeah, that's it now, this is it. More than this, you'd be crossing the limit, because this is how much I did to my own father. So what has happened now? On one side, our parents are trying. Some of them have a lot of concern for deen. So the telling off in the house is for deeny reasons. Some of them, it's just because they want to see the children in a good lifestyle. So it's more, you know, worldly reasons that why are you not paying attention in education? Why are you not getting a Saturday job? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? For whatever reason it is. For whatever reason it is, on one side they are trying, and on one side we have built up this temperament, this kind of frame of mind that, you know, no one should say anything to me. Because of this, the whole environment inside the house has changed. Okay? And because of this, the children, they do not feel like spending any time with their parents. And the same with the elder siblings as well. If the elder brother will tell the sister, look, you are doing wrong, you are dressing in the wrong manner, you know, you are listening to music, it's haram, look, music has this impact on you, this, they don't want to listen to them. So what happens now is that us teenagers, we don't want to spend time with our parents anymore, we don't want to spend time with our siblings anymore. So what do? The moment we come home, we run into our bedrooms. Okay? When everyone's eating, we let them eat downstairs because we don't want to join the family system. We don't want to spend time with them. So we let them finish eating, then purposely we'll come down to eat and we'll eat by ourselves. Go back into our rooms again. When we need our clothes, then we'll talk to our parents. Okay, well, where's my washing? Well, where's my clothes? Why are they not ready yet? Why are they not ironed yet? We'll go back to our rooms. When we need some spending money, we'll be good to our parents. So we've become so selfish. So selfish. But the main point that I want to talk to about is that because of all of this, we have made ourselves such in the house that that bedroom belongs to us. And the only part of the house is our bedroom. And we isolate ourselves in our bedroom. You know, we'll spend so much time in solitude in our bedroom. And this solitude is what I want to talk about. That this solitude is something very, very dangerous. This solitude is something very, very bad. Don't be offended by this, but I say my bayans in England as well, that, you know, many of our youngsters today, we are like lodgers in the house. We are like tenants in the house. What have we done? We're basically living like lodgers in the house. What does lodger mean? Sometimes you have extra space in the house. So you say, okay, so-and-so is looking for a room. So-and-so, he needs, you know, one floor, two, three bedrooms for his family. And it's only husband and wife in the house. So, okay, we'll take them as lodgers and we'll take rent from them. But we are living rent-free lodgers in the house. We have no relationship with any other family member, but we just take benefit of the utilities and the facilities in the house. Astaghfirullah. So what has this led to? Enjoying a life of being alone. Enjoying a life of solitude. This is a common statement that idle mind is shaitan's workshop. Idle mind is devil's workshop. So what happens now? Danger number one. When we enjoy this solitude so much, we've already cut off from our family members. This was a big danger in itself, a big harm in itself. Number two, when we go into solitude, many times we've got nothing to do. If you are downstairs, your mom would have said, okay, better help me prepare the food. Your mom would have said, better help me do the cleaning over here. Your mom would have said, can you run to the shop to me and go and get such and such for me? You know, your dad would have said, better can you do this favor for me? Can you do this job? They would have kept you occupied. But because you don't want to mix with them, you don't want to have nothing to do with them, now you're enjoying yourself in solitude, in isolation. So what happens in solitude? You've got nothing to do. You've got nothing to do. You just got your bed in front of you. You've got your wardrobes in front of you. What else are you going to do? So now you're going to look for things to do. So what ideas will come in your mind? So this is the statement that idle mind is shaitan's workshop. When you have nothing to do, you've got nothing to do with the family life, nothing to do with the household chores. You're just alone. You've got nothing to do. So now shaitan will come and put all sorts of ideas in your mind. All sorts of ideas in your mind. Crazy, crazy things shaitan will make you do. Tonight when everyone goes to sleep, then I'll sneak out of the house like this and I'll go. And before, you know, before Fajr time, I'll come into the house again. Okay? So this solitude is something very, very bad. And today, unfortunately, it's even more worse. Because we have the internet, we have our smartphones, we have so much social media that we're enjoying ourselves on. This is even more dangerous for us now. Because all we do is, we sit in our rooms, through this internet, again, sin. Through this internet, some girls, they just sit there and just enjoy themselves on YouTube and listening to music. Some girls will just sit there and all the time they will spend watching films. And what are the themes of majority of the films today? Romance. So that's gonna incite you even more that, you know, I should get a boyfriend as well. I should go into a relationship with somebody as well. Or look at these two, they met at college. So tomorrow when I go to college, I need to find somebody that I can bond with as well. Huh? What are the kind of, you know, the sick themes, the dirty, dirty themes of these programs and the films that we watch. Some women, they spend hours and hours and hours looking at all these makeup artists online. Oh, she does her hair like this, so I want to do my hair like this. And she shaped her eyebrows like this, and I want to do this. And she wears makeup like this. Some women, Allahu Akbar, daily, they're spending 2-3 hours every single day just getting ready. And they don't even know that when we go out, no one's even going to look at us anyway. No one pays any attention towards us anyway. But they just care so much about the way they look, so much about their outward body, and little or zero care do they have about their spiritual body. That's fine. I'm spending so long, you know, making my face look good, making my body look good, making my hair look good, making my scarf look good, making my dress look good. But what will be the state of my body when I enter into the qabr and I was such a woman that I never prayed salah? I never put my head down in sajda to that creator who gave me everything that I possess today. I never used to fast. I used to listen to music. I used to engage in sinning, in doing ghibah, talking to boys, you know, etc., etc., etc. So no care for their spiritual body and so much care for their physical appearance. And husne sirat husne surat chandroz, husne sirat mustaqil. Your looks, how long are these looks going to last? Maybe you have an accident tomorrow, your whole body is going to be disfigured now. Maybe you get into an illness, you lose your hair, you know, your whole body becomes skin to bones. Where did your looks go now? Where did your appearance go now? You know, you get married, you have a baby, you know, your whole figure is changed. So all these years you're preparing for that. Husne sirat, husne surat chand roz, husne sirat mustaqil. But if you worried about your character, if you worried about your relationship with others, if you worried about your akhlaq, if you worried about your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is something that was going to remain permanently. And your looks, your appearance that you're spending so much time behind, is only temporary. So we've picked up this love for solitude now. We don't want to mix with anybody from our family members, anyone who cares about us, we don't want to mix with them. Even those friends who will tell us, and look, you're doing this wrong. You know, I saw you speaking to your parents in the wrong way. You know, I see you doing this. I saw you mixing with such and such woman, such and such group. It's not good for you. We don't want to keep ties with them as well. We only want to stay with those people who do the same things as us, who enjoy the same things as us, and who don't reprimand us over anything that we do. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's such a strong hadith. It's mind-blowing, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a true hadith. Today we see, you know, the power of this hadith and how strong the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. On one side he is saying that al-wahdatu khayrun min jaleesis su. Al-wahdatu khayrun min jaleesis su. It's not that, you know, staying in solitude, staying, you know, aloof from people. You know, this is a concept in Islam as well. But there's limits in there. There's limits in there. If you think that, oh, you know, I'm going to cut off from everyone else and but I'm just going to worship Allah all day, this is not Islamic at all. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La sarurata fil Islam." There's no such thing as someone goes into isolation, solitude, cuts himself from society and just worships Allah all day. He's worshiping Allah all day. Allah is saying, I don't want this from you. But on the other side, Allah is saying, or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining, that if the only company you can find is bad company. So in the house, you've got good company. You've got your parents, you've got your brothers and sisters, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts. You've got good company in the house. When you go to madrasa, you've got good company. You've got your teachers, you've got your friends. But when you go to school, for example, or when you go to work, for example, you see that, oh, the only people around me are, you know, such girls who, you know, they've all got some sort of haram relationship. And that's all they talk about. Haram relationships. Or girls, they're engaged in drugs. You know, they're just worried about intoxicating themselves. You know, they like going out to the clubs and the pubs and enjoying alcohol. Or, you know, you've got girls, but their akhlaq are really, really bad. So at that time, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, al-wahdatu khayrun min jaleesis su. At a time where everyone around you is corrupt, their akhlaq are bad, their a'mal are bad, then for you it's better that you stay away from them. You know, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, hi, hello, and fine, you mind your own business. You don't mix with such people. But at the same time, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْوَحْدَةِ. Today many religious people would think as well, okay, oh, I shouldn't talk to anybody, you know, I should just stay alone and, you know, just mind my own business and just pray salah, do my tasbih, etc., etc. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is not the correct way as well. Yes, to remain alone is better than spending time in bad company. But at the same time, وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْوَحْدَةِ If you have the opportunity to sit with good people, people who will rectify you, people who will support you in changing for the good, people who will reprimand you, they will tell you, they will alert you when you are doing something wrong, then to spend time with that person, someone who's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who dresses modestly, someone who's got salah, zakat, fasting, and you know the good a'mal in their lives, spending time with such a person is much more better than remaining alone. So he said, وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْوَحْدَةِ And where are we going wrong today? We have made wahda more beloved than Jalisu Salih. We have made staying alone and lonely and remaining in solitude, remaining in the boundaries of our bedroom, we've made it more beloved than spending time with good people like our parents and our siblings and our relatives. So we've done the complete opposite. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, spending time with good people is better than loneliness. We've said, no, loneliness is better than spending time with good people. And on the other side, what do? That when we have a chance, when we have a choice, a good friend or a bad friend, we've given preference and priority to the bad friends over the good friends. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-rajulu ala dini khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalil." A person is on the path of his friends. Huh? Don't think, my dear sisters, that you've got four friends and all four of them they have boyfriends. They've got haram relationships and you don't. And don't think that, okay, I'll stay with them, but I won't get into a haram relationship. No, you stay with them, they'll talk about it, they'll start saying to you, oh, so-and-so likes you, so-and-so fancies you, why don't you get into a relationship with him, oh, so-and-so was asking about you. Don't think that someone who has bad characteristics, you can just hang around with them and no impact will happen on you. You will have friends that they speak so much slang language. You just hang around with them for half an hour. When you go home, you start using that language as well. You have friends that they go out to the wrong places. You don't go. But what will happen slowly, slowly? Today you never went. Tomorrow they say, come on, Yara, you never come with us. You say, no, I can't go. It's not good. If I get caught, my parents will get angry. Your parents are, you know, they're not so strict on you. My parents are really strict. Third time, fourth time. Now the fifth time will come, you will start thinking as well. Yeah, they're so fortunate. They get to go here after school, after college, after work. They get to go over here. After madrasa, they get to go over there. But my parents say, I can't go. Whether it's the coffee lounges, whether it's these cafes, etc., etc. But whether it's the shopping centers, we say, oh, you know, I can't go. One time, two time. But a time will come when you will become like them as well. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a man is on the religion of his friends, on the path of his friends. So each and every single one of you should be very, very particular in regards to who you befriend, who you make as a friend. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, that there is nothing that points to something else. He says, there is nothing that points to something else. There is nothing that represents something else. Not even the way smoke represents fire. He says, the strongest thing that I have seen, that one thing can represent somebody else, more than even smoke representing fire, is one friend representing another friend. One friend representing another friend. When a child takes, you know, admission in the madrasa, what will the madrasa say? Okay, first find out, who does he hang around with? Because that's the kind of student we're going to bring in. When people come to us, we are like, you know, the leaders in the community, we are the imams, we are the ulama. So people come to us and they ask that, you know, I want my daughter to get married to so-and-so. You don't know so-and-so, but you do know that so-and-so hangs around with people who take drugs. So-and-so hangs around with people who go to the clubs and the pubs. So-and-so hangs around with people who go to the cinema. So-and-so hangs around with people, they are not so bothered about their education. You will get that same mind frame and the same picture about that person. You don't even know him. But just by looking at his friends, you will realize that so-and-so must be the same type as well. So my message, my dear sisters, that I want to leave behind with you is a very, very important message. We need to change this style of ours now. Number one, we have cut off from our family members and we have, you know, restricted ourselves to the boundaries, the four boundaries of the four walls of our bedrooms. This is not a good thing. Because this comes with a lot of dangers. A lot of dangers. And what a big danger this is, that your parents, Allahu Akbar, your parents, when they came into this country, and you know, they were earning so less, Still they put blood and sweat day and night together to sustain you, to bring you to you know, they would eat less, they would shop less, they would fulfill their own, they would sacrifice their own desires just so they could buy clothes for you, they could afford the rent for the house to keep you in. And today when you've become old enough to help them, old enough to help them in the housework, old enough to help them with other things, old enough to give them moral support, old enough to be a companion for your parents, how hurt must your parents be that they realize that we've brought up our daughter, but she's not really our daughter. Such a disgusting feeling it must be for them. So, number one is that what we've done is we've cut off from the people who are good for us, and we've end up liking solitude, and then in this solitude we end up doing so many sins, and then after that we end up mixing with the wrong company instead of the good company. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to change this. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to hang around with good company and to revive our relationships and reconnect ourselves with our parents and our siblings so that our family system can be strong. This family system, my dear sister, remember this, it will benefit you more than anybody else. Because tomorrow when you get married and you need some financial support, then your parents are the ones going to help you. Today if you get into trouble, you end up going behind bars, you end up going in prison, you end up getting yourself in trouble, it's your parents who are going to help you. So the more you disconnect from them, you are losing out on your own self. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad.